on Tuesday. And thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to the Guy James Show. And as always, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Have a good one, gang.
Quality News Network. In Pennsylvania, a shooting at a one-room Amish school today killed at least four people. Lancaster County authorities report the gunman, a 32-year-old milk truck driver, was among the dead. Seven people were also wounded. It's the third deadly school shooting in the U.S. in less than a week. In Baghdad, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki presented his new four-point peace plan to end the sectarian violence in Iraq between the Sunnis and the Shiites. The plan includes the establishment of local commissions to oversee security forces, which will include representatives of each party and a central committee to coordinate. Also in Baghdad, the state of emergency put in place over the weekend has been renewed today by the parliament. 14 employees were kidnapped today, the second mass kidnapping in 2 days. Dozens of bodies were also found in and around the capital today. At the White House today, President Bush met with Turkey's prime minister. He endorsed Turkey's bid to join the European Union and praised the country's economic reforms. Traveling to Saudi Arabia today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice strongly denied that she had received a CIA warning about an imminent attack prior to the September 11th attacks. The alleged meeting on July 10th is described in Bob Woodward's new book. In Gaza City, the Hamas-led Palestinian government shut down all ministries today after yesterday's deadly anti-government protest between Hamas and Fatah supporters killed 9 people and injured 90. In southern Lebanon today, the Lebanese army reclaimed the portion of land that was held by Israel since the 34-day war ended. Israeli troops completed their withdrawal from the region yesterday as required by the UN ceasefire. On Capitol Hill, former Representative Mark Foley, who resigned from Congress on Friday following the revelation of inappropriate emails he allegedly wrote to former House pages, has checked into an alcohol rehabilitation facility. House Speaker Dennis Hassert said he and a lot of people were duped and deceived by Foley, who is now under investigation by the FBI, Florida law enforcement authorities, and the Justice Department. In Washington, the Supreme Court began its new term today. It has an unusually high number of business-related cases on its docket. And in Ojai, California, a month-long wildfire is 95% contained, according to authorities. It has cost nearly $70 million to fight and is one of the worst in California history. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
The American Journal of Psychiatry finds that men are about as likely as women to go on shopping binges. The study shows that men are actually more likely than women to become addicted to auctions. The U.S. Census Bureau predicts that sometime this month, the population will reach the 300 million mark. In September, the manufacturing sector in the U.S. expanded at the slowest pace in more than a year. The Commerce Department reports that in August, construction project spending went up unexpectedly, the biggest gain in 11 months. The New York Times reports that Walmart has a goal of creating a 40% part-time workforce. According to the paper, part-time workers currently make up 25 to 30% of the retailer's workforce. Two private equity firms are offering Harrah's Entertainment $15 billion to purchase the world's largest casino operator. The Las Vegas-based company operates 40 casinos. A survey of the 10 hottest labor markets in the U.S. finds that five of them are in Florida, with Cape Coral, Fort Myers at number one, Las Vegas at number two, and Phoenix at number three. And a British company has launched a new service aimed at cutting down the number of stolen mobile phones. If the phone is reported stolen, the system activates and it emits a piercing electronic scream. Light sweet crude settled at $60.96 a barrel, and near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is down 9 points, the Nasdaq down 21, the S&P 500 down 4. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me's right. Today's Tom Sawyer, me's right.
It's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. This is Bruce. I am the host of this show and glad to have you along with us, all of you folks streaming from headonradionetwork.com and also radiopower.org. Glad to have you aboard with us on this Monday afternoon. Wasn't altogether sure I was going to make it today, but here I am. So I'm glad I'm here and glad you're there. I mentioned over the last week that one of the things that I was going to try to do in the very near future was to do a radio program where we look at some of the positive ways of dealing with stress surrounding the political arena. And today we're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the program. Starting out, though, you know, I could not, cannot, will not ignore what is going on with regards to Mark Foley, who resigned abruptly Friday. You know, I had a pretty stacked show Friday and didn't get to that particular topic, but this congressman who from Florida, who apparently has, a taste for young boys, and resigned from Congress on Friday. And I'll tell you, this particular situation has been really quite incredible how fast it's developed and how quickly there's been a response regarding this and how crazy it is. But, you know, it's really quite crazy. And, you know, based on some of the, you know, let me get it out, based on a lot of the things that I read, over the weekend and this afternoon, this morning and into this afternoon, some of the things that I've read about him, you know, are, you know, quite interesting. He was the chair of the Missing and Exploited Children Caucus, was also the author of a bill that would that criminalized predatory behavior via the internet. Predatory behavior against children. now it looks as if he may get prosecuted by his own law, which I would say is poetic justice for someone who commits the crimes that he has committed, you know, with these children on the internet. And you know, I really have, and the last thing that I heard, of course, today is that over the weekend he checked himself into an alcoholism treatment center, saying that he is an alcoholic and needs treatment. And that sickened me. It sickened me on a couple of levels. The first thing that it sickened me over, well, first of all, this entire story is very sick because, but it also proves kind of the idea that some of these conservatives, you know, really are just wolves in sheep's clothing. This isn't the first time that this has happened in this administration. There were a number of Department of Homeland Security folks, including another one in Florida, who was exposing himself to a girl at a mall who got arrested. He was the chief of the exploited kids section or whatever down there in Florida. And yeah, he got popped. He got busted for that, you know. And so, you know, there seems to be a trend here, I guess is what I'm getting at. And of course, the administration is downplaying all of this. The administration is trying to say that, it's just some naughty emails. Just some naughty emails. Not a big deal. You know, not a big deal. When in fact, if you have read some of the emails, and if you've read the instant message transcripts that were taken and posted at abcnews.com and also at rawstory.com, it's not just simply naughty emails. Snow tells reporters, quote, "Yeah, look, I hate to tell you, but it's not always pretty up there on Capitol Hill. There have been some other scandals, as you know, that have been more than simply naughty emails." And he says they're simply naughty emails. Apparently, Tony Snow hasn't read the transcript from the online chat that, you know, I'm not going to read it on the air because to me it's just absolutely sickening. You know, it talks about various different things that, you know, I guess two guys can do together, you know, which is fine if you're of age. But he was talking to a 16-year-old boy, and this is just absolutely repugnant to me. You know, a person's sexual preference is entirely their own. When you take it to the level of messing with children, as this Mr. Foley did, then, you know, you end up in prison, and I certainly hope that's exactly where he goes. Now, the fallout, again, is continuing. As I said before, he has checked himself into an alcoholism treatment program, and, you know, through his lawyer, issued a statement basically saying along the lines of, "I know I've got a problem, and I need to deal with my alcoholism and other behavioral issues." Well, I don't want to, like, burst your bubble there, Mr. Foley, but I know plenty of people who are in recovery from alcoholism. I know plenty of people who are in recovery from alcoholism. Most of them even in the middle of swimming in a vat of alcohol, knew enough about right and wrong to not try to screw children. And it's absolutely wrong. It's, you know, that it just, you know, and but see, this is what happens. You know, there is this this moralistic viewpoint that some of these folks take on. And you know, and it's totally the opposite of their nature to do so. And so what happens is, you know, it I guess the way that, you know, the best way to put it is it comes out in other ways. You know, there have been plenty of stories from the right wing about folks who say they're one thing and get caught being another. I'm thinking specifically of the gentleman, I use that term loosely, of course, but I'm thinking of the gentleman in Kansas, I think it was. He was the head of some sort of family and children's network or some sort of Christian organization. And, you know, he got caught propositioning a male prostitute. And again, I'm not downing someone's lifestyle choice. What I'm saying is that if you are going to put your name out there and put your face out there, and you're going to condemn other people because of their lifestyles, and you get caught in the middle of something that obviously is illegal, for instance, in this case, then you deserve every damn thing you get, including all the negative press, including jail time, including FBI probes, including ethics probes, whatever it takes. You need to, you know, it's owed to you. It's owed to you. Okay. There's a couple more items in this that I want to cover when I come back from the break. But very quick news item before I go to the break. Apparently, Hugo Chavez is coming out and says that apparently Fidel Castro, he just visited Hugo Chavez, or Hugo Chavez just visited Castro, I should say, in Cuba, and Castro has come out and, or has told, apparently, according to Hugo Chavez, has told him that, he says, I've already lived my epoch, I can die, I'm free to die, not you, you are a slave of life. So, apparently Fidel is ready to go. It'll be interesting to see if that happens sooner than later. Of course, Fidel Castro has been the bane of a number of American presidential administrations. They're 70 miles south of our border, and you know, has remained staunchly independent of us. Anyway, it's 15 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the call, if you want to get in on the show today, the number is 1-877-443-2366. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
And the men who hold high places must be the ones who start to mold a new reality closer to the heart, closer to the heart. Blacksmith and the artist, reflected in their art, they forge their creativity closer to the heart.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Cleaned up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed.
And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
I'm Sarah Rich. My daughter, Suzanne Swift, is an Iraq combat veteran who was sexually harassed and abused while she was deployed in Iraq by her superior officers. The Bush regime is remaking the world in a disastrous way for generations to come. On October 5th, march through the streets, walk out of school, refuse to work, and don't shop. To bring the war, the torture, the abuse of our military, the whole Bush program to a halt, we must act now to drive out the Bush regime. October 5th, be there. WorldCan'tWait.org, 866-973-4463. It can be done.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. Naja, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Back to the show. It is 20 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Birch Radio program, being brought to you on the Head On Radio Network simulcast on radiopower.org. If you want to get in on the show today, it's 1-877-443-2366. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Got a couple of them lined up here. Susan from Columbia City, line one. How are you doing today?
Fair to Midland, Bruce.
Fair to Midland.
Yeah, I couldn't resist calling in about the Foley thing. Two other fine, upstanding Republicans of the same stripe, Timothy McVeigh and a guy by the name of Dennis Reagan. He was also known by the initials BTK.
Mm-hmm.
Stood for Bind, Torture, Kill. Real fun dude. Anyway, the reason I actually called in was because when I saw this on the internet, I like to get on the message boards because while the people that frequent them are not really well wrapped, they can be entertaining at times. Would you believe they're trying to blame this on Clinton?
No.
Oh yeah, listen to this. This is a normal type message, and it's a direct quote. The title is Monica Gate was far, far worse, and the actual body of the message says Clinton actually carried out his sexual misdeeds while Mark Carr Foley simply emailed the young man. So, good grief.
Let's not mention, I mean, you know, let's not pierce this person's lack of reality and say something along the lines of, well, Monica was of age.
Yeah, I know. Well, the people who are more or less sane and who get in here, you know, for giggles, they get in there and do that. But some of the people on these boards are, you know, clearly from some planet that, you know.
Planet Zyklon.
Yeah, something like that. But almost immediately, the very, very first thing, Clinton's fault.
Well, you know, I mean, it seems like everything with some of those folks, they hate him so bad. They'll be blaming Clinton for their lack of ease in their old age 50 years from now.
Well, I fully expect if the sun goes nova, they'll be blaming Clinton for it. They'll find someone.
Clinton should have signed us on to Kyoto.
There is one other thing that was mentioned on the board that I thought was interesting. It was not from the neocon. It's
mm-hmm.
from the liberal. And
really?
It was,
okay.
Where are the right-wing Christian types?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Robertson, that type. Where are their voices? They're silent. Why?
Well, I have some ideas on that.
Oh, so do I. The one I thought was best, though, was a person posted in, and he said, actually, it's probably because he's got the same predilection and he's waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Did they catch my emails, too? That's what he's thinking.
Yeah, that's probably what. But I just couldn't believe it. He immediately went after Clinton. I thought you'd get a giggle out of that. And let's face it, we can all use a laugh. After what happened Friday, you know, we need a laugh. And this is there.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Is there any? I've read that Hastert has changed his story about four times. About whether or not he knew about this?
I don't think that there's any, it doesn't appear to be that he's made any movement toward resigning yet, but, and he probably won't. He'll probably, you know, try to survive this himself, but, I think all the indications are that he knew about the behavior and he knew about the possibility of this guy being a pedophile. As far back as 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, good grief. And I can remember that Catholic bishop, what was it, Bishop of New York, who was
mm-hmm.
forced to resign.
Cardinal Law, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's a cardinal, forced to resign because he had known about what was going on and done nothing. What makes the Speaker of the House different from a cardinal?
That's a good question, except for Denny Hastert is, I think he really believes he's bulletproof. But, he did at least, based on what I read this afternoon, he did at least, request that the Attorney General investigate everyone who knew anything about this, including those who might have known about the emails, years ago. So, I mean, that included him. It'll be interesting to see I think at this point it's about damage control, and I think what they're trying to do is go, see, we're trying to be open and honest about this.
Yeah.
Even though they tried to cover it up for the last
right.
4 years.
Now, if they can just slap Tony Snow silly for his comment.
Tony is, he's an apologist.
He's strange. Anybody who would consider those, quote, naughty emails? Oh, good grief. Well, I'll let you go and let the other people get on. And have a real nice day today, Bruce, okay?
All right. Thank you, Susan. Hope you have a wonderful afternoon.
Okay. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. That's our good friend Susan from Columbia City calling in. You know, I just, as I'm reading all of these stories and I'm looking at all this stuff, you know, it just, to me, smacks of a typical Republican corruption situation covered up. Representative Thomas Reynolds, head of the House Republican election effort, said he told Speaker Hastert after learning a fellow GOP lawmaker sent inappropriate messages to a teenage boy. Reynolds was told months ago about the emails sent by Representative Mark Foley and is now defending himself from Democratic accusations that he did too little. So, you know, Danny Hastert knew about this. Now, whether or not he did everything he could is, of course, going to be determined by an investigation that is ongoing right now by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which, of course, is run by none other than El Torturador, Alberto Gonzalez. Whatever. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get right back to the phone lines. Hang on. If you're there, stick around. We'll be right back. This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States? How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
right, you're back on the Bruce Burch radio program. It's about 32 minutes past the hour here, and let's go right back over to the phones. If you want to get in on the show today, you know the number, 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877, the number 4, head on. Jim, line 2, how you doing, man? Jim.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fair to middling.
Better than you deserve to be as usual.
Absolutely.
I hear you. Well, you know, let's not jump to conclusions about this email. I mean, the nature of these emails could have been purely avuncular. Perhaps he was mentoring this young man. What do you think?
Well, I could probably agree with that to a certain extent, but then I looked at the online chat transcript and I said, mentoring him with all the wrong hands, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, I see. Were they salacious in nature?
Quite salacious.
I haven't seen these things, but...
You need to read the letters, the emails to me, you know, could lead someone to believe that there's more to the story than met the eye. Now, if you read the online chat transcript from, I guess it was AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
It's very damning.
Hmm. And I bet the prose wasn't even good, right?
I'm sorry?
I bet the prose wasn't even good, was it?
No, the prose wasn't even good. And the spelling, the punctuation was all wrong, and it really was a tragedy.
You know, I'll never forget when I saw one of these Andy Warhol movies called Lonesome Cowboys, and Viva was being just pulled every which way by all these guys at the rodeo. And she says, "One more impertinence, and the F is off." And, you know, these guys who said this stuff, are they stupid? I mean, I have used government emails and things like that. I worked in government, and I know that you just don't, on Knob Hill, we just don't do things like that.
Everything is saved.
I mean, you, are they so far in the toward Mount Olympus that they feel as though their sins can't find them out? I mean, I don't understand why people could be so damn stupid as to use a government system to email. And wasn't this boy a former page or something?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
He must have really, all I can say is he must, well, what can one say now that the...
One can't really say much. I mean, I think Mark Foley pretty much said everything that there is to say.
Well, Mark Foley is definitely an example of the love that dare not speak its name. It's now crying from the very housetop, and it's not crying from the right corner as far as Republicans are concerned, that's for sure. But, you know, these people have been so easy to condemn others on the basis of morality, and they've forgotten one word that Christ said when he was here physically present on this earth. But if he is without sin, cast the first stone. And they've been throwing so many stones and so many rocks at so many people that it's just amazing what it is when one of their own is found out, just like Duke Cunningham and some of the other people and, you know, some of the other stuff that's come to light. And I hope that, you know, I don't like to see bad things happen to people, but when they deserve it, they deserve it, and particularly when they're being so damn hypocritical about it, you know?
Yeah, well, and that's just it, is that it, hypocritical is hypocritical. You know, when the man, absolutely, I'll tell you this, and this is just it. Absolutely, there is nothing absolutely at all wrong with someone being the chair of the Missing and Exploited Children Caucus or authoring pedophilia legislation. What's wrong with him is that not only was he doing this at the same time that he was writing this legislation and doing all these interviews about how sick people were who did this kind of thing. I mean, he was doing it, like, I guess, the next day or after he went home.
He obviously was quite well-versed and had first-hand experience and first-hand knowledge of what it's like to have a problem of that nature, didn't he?
And it almost makes you wonder if he was trying to self sabotage himself or something,
or it's some type of self compensation. You know, it's hard to. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but what I do know is this. And he blamed alcohol as a result of his indiscretion.
Yes, he did. Or he's trying to. I don't think he came right out and said it's because of alcohol, but he went into an alcoholism treatment center and says, I need to deal with my alcoholism and other behavioral issues.
I see. Well, I wish him luck in recovery and all that. But, you know, you just can't blame John Barleycorn for everything. Because I've been drunk. But I've never been so drunk that I would do something that stupid.
No. And quite honestly, I really don't. I mean, I know plenty of people who are in recovery who have told very heinous stories of things that they've done. Not one of them has involved pedophilia.
No.
That I'm aware of.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I don't know, these guys may call us Rolling Stones who gather no moss when we accuse them, but you know something, what a Rolling Stone does? It does gather momentum.
It does, and it you know, I really think that, I really think that there's, but there's other things that are going on in the world, and I think that this may be, it might be one of those smoke and mirrors things, too. It might be a sacrificial lamb.
Well, it could be. Could be. You have to really look at things of all sides to try to get a true picture. It takes a very wise judge to decide what's going on, or a very wise person to decide what's really going on. Because I sure as hell don't know what's going on up there. I really don't. I thought I used to at one time, but not anymore. But anyway, Mr. Foley, is that his name?
Yes.
And then he did resign, correct?
Yes, he did.
Well, that's one less Republican from Florida, and that's one more chink, chink in their armor. And I hope the people begin to just take notice of this. I mean, and I don't want them to paint all Christians with one brush. They're not all like that. There are a lot of good Christian people. And but we can't all be painted with the same brush like that. It's hypocrites and things that we say at one thing and we do something else. But there are a lot of people like that. And there are a lot of people who are just not what they appear to be. I guess some of our finest idols do have feet made of clay, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is what it is, and it will unfold as it will, and you know, life will go on in D.C. and it, you know, and somebody else will get caught doing the same thing at some point. I think the biggest thing is to remember. I'm taking a little bit of particular delight in the fact that this has come out when it's come out. You know, apparently even the boy's parents didn't want there to be any sort of big deal about this.
Well, I'm sure they want to protect their son, yeah. I mean, Bruce, there have been cases of actually where there have been goings-on in the men's room in the Longworth building at the Capitol, okay?
Sure.
I mean, there are all kinds of things that happen in D.C. that we never hear about. Thank God we don't. And, you know, LBJ had one of his lead associates or advisors being caught in the men's room at Union Station. And that caused him a lot of grief, too. It was a real mess. So they had to put this guy in for alcoholic treatment. This was back in the late 60s. Do you remember that story?
No, I don't.
And, you know, there's just all types of indiscretions committed within the Beltway. And we can't forget our good old friend, J. Edgar Hoover. And some of the things he used to do. And so, I mean, there it is. The picture of that man in drag is just almost unfathomable for me to realize, but I've heard he was a taupe and not an autumn, so that's the only color I could suggest for him. I want to tell you a quick story about him. Do you know what they did with him when he died?
No, I don't.
They put him in a solid lead casket.
Really?
Yeah. And they had 10 servicemen as pallbearers. 8 of them were ruptured as they carried that thing from the rotunda of the Capitol to the hearse that took it to Congressional Cemetery. They put him in a solid lead casket.
Oh, gosh.
Now, I just thought I would throw that in as a little tidbit for those people who love a little gossip. But, I mean, yeah. And so, I mean, you know, as Cole Porter once said, anything goes.
Yep.
And on that note, I'm going to leave you to your own devices, and I hope you have a good program.
All right.
You and your family well.
Thank you, sir.
And you take care. I hope
you have a wonderful afternoon as well, my
friend. Thank you. Thank you, sir. And
all right.
I'm going to be leaving here and out here. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jim. And that's our friend Jim from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. Let's go straight over to Dave from Eureka, California. Dave, how are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, pretty fair, Bruce. I've become a rapidly regular listener and caller as well, I guess. But
absolutely.
You were touching on the hazard component in this, and I think that's probably the most significant. Apparently, he was told about it some 10, 11 months ago, and he was questioned on that this morning. Were you, in fact, told of Mark Foley's behavior 10 months ago? And he said, I don't remember, which means to me he didn't think it was significant enough to do anything about or even to remember that he'd been told. And this particular gentleman, Goon, is third in line for the presidency. It doesn't sound like he put a whole lot of thought into that response.
And then later, I think he changed his story, didn't he?
I don't know. If he did, I haven't got caught up on the news. My computer runs real slow.
Well, the first thing that I had heard was that he had admitted, or first he said he wasn't sure, and then he said, yes, I was told, but that it was that he didn't think it was significant. I'll have to look that up. I'll have to look that up because I think I could swear that he changed his story a couple times.
Well, what I was hearing on the news here is that when questioned, he responded, I don't know. I don't know if I was told about that. And I, if that is the accurate answer, to me that's very significant.
Well, it's very telling, isn't it?
Yeah, he didn't think it important enough to do anything about it or to even remember that he had been told about it. At least that's the message he was moved to give out at first when he was confronted. If indeed he did know about it, and if he thought, no big deal, no. That says an awful lot, I think.
Indeed it does. And now, according to one of the top stories on Yahoo that I'm reading right now, said no Republican leaders saw the lurid Internet exchanges, and he would have demanded Foley's ouster if he had known about them.
Well, they've had little time.
Now he's completely denying it.
If they've had a little time to think about it, they're usually pretty skillful at coming up with deceptions and spins. But as always,
they're cutting Foley out to the four winds, and they're going to burn him as hard as they can.
There are those who are speculating that the Republicans themselves threw him under the bus to take the heat off of them on other fronts. And they're certainly not beneath doing such a thing, but they could have found something a little less damaging, I think, because this strikes right at the heart of their base, you know, the one of their own. It's like, they lived through having a gay hooker in the White House how long for how many times? Like, that just died over. You would have thought that would have been just blown up in their faces.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah. Yep, they seem like they're able to ignore just about everything. I do love your program, though. I love your whole network.
Well, thank you. We do what we can.
Yeah, you do that. And you do it well.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, Dave. Have a wonderful afternoon, my friend. And that was our friend Dave from Eureka, California. Let's go straight over to Sarge. Sarge has been waiting for a little while. Sarge, how you doing?
Oh, doing pretty good, Bruce. I don't know which way to go on this first. I have talked to Senator Mary Landrieu's office, and I also talked to Bill Nelson's office about why they voted for the bill the way they did. And I thought you might be interested in hearing some of the conversation.
And you're referring now to the torture bill.
To the torture bill, right.
Okay. Yeah, please do share that.
All righty. Mary Landrieu's office was saying, we'll send you a press release, and that we're not talking about it other than what the press release says. And then I talked to Bill Nelson's office, and the first guy I talked to, when I asked him the difficult question, why did he vote on this bill, he said, well, sir, he felt it was better than the bill that the president had in place. And I said, well, that was a bill too, right? I mean, it hadn't been voted on either. And he said, well, yeah, but we thought this was a better bill. And I said, but there's neither one of them was a law. So what is the law? So why would you want either one of them as a law? And he said, well, there's no law in place. And I said, oh, wait a minute, just a second now. Is the Geneva Convention a law? And he just kind of got silent and said, well, yeah. And I said, well, why isn't the Geneva Convention a better law than either one of them? So why did we have to have a law? And, of course, they couldn't answer that. And a lot of the questions that I asked them, they just couldn't answer. So apparently all of these senators that vote, the Democratic senators that voted this way, they are taking a very sealed approach to it. They release their press statements, and they're not saying much about it.
Yeah, and I imagine they won't, because there's a lot of Democrats that are very angry at them right now.
Yeah.
You know, they took the fascist line on this one.
That one of the guys that I talked to, I talked to two different guys at Senator Nelson's office, and the first one was really rude, and when I asked him the question about how do you think the military people are going to feel when they're captured and tortured, known that your senator helped make it possible for them to be even more tortured than they would have been. And he said, well, sir, they can't do that. And I said, they can't. Oh, yes, they can. You know, your senator just gave them permission to do it. And he said, well, that's not really true. And I said, why doesn't your senator just resign? Because, you know, he's just put so many people in harm's way with this. He said, well, sir, the people of Florida elected him. I said, well, wait just a second. Now, you're talking about the same Florida where hundreds of thousands of boats were illegally stopped and taken off registers? Is that the same Florida you're talking about? Well, yeah, yeah. Then how in the world can you turn around and tell me that he was properly elected? Can you prove it? And, of course, he hung up on me.
Yeah.
But the simple thing is that these people just really have no answer. They release these press statements, and I kind of have a feeling this Foley deal was part of the idea that we're going to blow this thing up so everybody will forget about how we voted. I mean, that's just, you know, to me, that's just the thing. I haven't called all of them, and I plan to, except Lieberman, of course. Why call Lieberman?
Yeah, you'll know what the deal is there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist for that one. But it's just, I mean, the whole situation, they have got more excuses than Carter has liver pills. And it's just, it's ridiculous, Bruce. These people have no real solid reason for voting on it. And the only reason that really comes out when you talk to them is, we don't want the Republicans saying we're weak on terrorism.
Exactly. And, you know, and see, the problem is that, you know, as I said I think on Friday and Thursday and Friday both, that, you know, the Republicans really painted the Democrats into a corner here with this bill. And, you know, politically, I can see where someone would vote for it because of the fact that, you know, the fact that they're going to look like they're being, see, you know how those attack ads can go.
Right.
Now, if someone, you know, based on principle, voted against it, who was running and didn't, you know, and still voted against it, you know, then you got someone who's got some cojones, and if they could stand up there and say exactly why, you know, then you would have a positive outcome. But I really, you know, this torture bill is really it's set us back, man.
Oh, it's a
but
great,
you know,
for, it's a great
on the other,
for the terrorists, as Ray Hinckley said in the chat.
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh, sure.
But now, you know, I'm sorry, Bruce. Go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is that, you know, I had the opportunity Friday night. It was either Friday or Saturday night. I think it was Saturday night. George Carlin was on HBO.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that he mentioned in his monologue, and I'm not going to steal his stuff, I'm actually crediting him here. He said, you know, he said, we have been barbaric, that we are barbaric by nature, and that the human being is probably more is absolutely more barbaric than any other species on the planet. And we've always been that way. And so for us to be shocked that people are torturing other people now is really just sort of, it's false shock, because we condone it. But, you know, this has been going on for age, you know, since, what do you call it, the Cro-Magnon period or whatever. And we would like to think that we're better than that, but the reality is that there's been torture going on, especially even by the CIA. Just now, this guy, this Bush guy, this stupid guy, is just acknowledging it and bringing it out into the open and saying, yes, we are doing this.
Well, you know, during World War II, if we did any torture at all, then we might have. I'm not going to say we didn't. But from all reports that I've ever gotten, the rule of thumb was that the United States did follow the Geneva Conventions. Well, you know, I told you a story about Mr. Yoakum. And, you know, when you follow the Geneva Conventions, you're going to get more information, and you're going to get a more sensible approach to things, and you're going to save lives from it. And the fact that these people think that this is undefined, I have no idea what they're talking about, because I've served in the military during wartime, and I understand that if I got captured, I'd probably be tortured, but there was some solace in the fact that I knew if our people got captured somebody, that they wouldn't torture them. At least we would show that we had more moral values than this. But this party of moral values, they're not too moral, Bruce. I'm going to let you go, and I've written several articles on this on powersandmorrison.com in my site, on my page, so I hope everybody will go by and check it out. I even got a All new right. logo for the Republican Party. It's this guy with his hands cuffed behind his back.
Ah.
So I think it fits.
The criminal party. Thank you, Sarge. Yep, everybody, go check out Sarge's page, his blog over at powersandmorrison.com. Thanks a lot, Sarge. And that's our good friend Sarge from Southern Mississippi. Let's go ahead and take one more phone call before the top of the hour. Peter in Tallahassee, Florida. Peter, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing pretty good, Bruce. How are you doing?
Better than I deserve.
I guess I am, too, to tell you the truth. You know, Foley checked into a alcohol treatment center because he's a pedophile. It makes as much sense as going to a dentist when you have a heart problem.
Or invading Iraq when you're trying to find bin Laden.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one thing I haven't heard very many people mention about this thing about torture and one of the aspects of that it makes it's not really a war. I don't know what to call it, this invasion, whatever it is. But let's say we were fighting real enemies, and it makes it a lot harder because, you know, people are going to surrender. Say, you know, you have a place surrounded. I mean, if they think they're going to be captured and tortured and waterboarded, I mean, they're going to fight to the death. If they thought they were going to be treated humanely, they would very likely surrender in an unwinnable situation. You know, it makes the war more dangerous in that respect, in addition to making it more dangerous for the troops when they're captured. So,
well, it may very well be, Peter, that that's the idea.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I guess.
You know, the way that these the Bushites, you know, act is that they would rather kill everyone than take any prisoners anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I wanted to tell you about something. I'm holding in my hand. I'm holding in my hand a writing pen, and it's a ballpoint pen, and it's actually a fairly nice pen. It has a little click on the top to eject the stylus, and it has a rubber grip down, you know, next to where the stylus is, so that you can hold on to it, and it writes well. So, in other words, it's not a particularly cheap model pen. But a friend of mine, she was in Texas for 2 weeks, and she just got back the other day. She gave this to me, And the reason she gave it to me is because of what's written on it. And it's just, I understand that these are ubiquitous in Texas, that this man has had thousands and thousands and thousands of these printed up and distributed.
Uh-huh.
And I'll read it to you word for word. On this pen, it says, "We love Bush. We support George W. Bush. Even unborn baby support George W. Bush." And I mean that literally. It doesn't say babies. It says, "Even unborn baby support George W. Bush." And then it says, "Mr. Lee in Temple, Texas, 254-778-3111.
Let's call him, shall we?
I think that we should call him and ask him, you know, Mr. Lee in Temple, Texas, how's that working out for you? Bear in mind, though, listeners, if you do call him, you're calling an insane person.
Yeah.
You need to be aware of
because
that.
anybody that would support Bush now obviously is living in an alternate reality.
Totally altered. So the man has had these not the cheapest, you know, customizable pens. They're nice with the rubber grip, and we love Bush. We support George W. Bush. Even unborn baby support George W. Bush.
Baby as in B-A-B-Y?
B-A-B-Y. Even unborn baby, comma, support George W. Bush. I mean, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines on this pen. It's amazing the amount of data he's got on this pen. 254-778-3111. How's that working out for you? Amazing.
I hope that around America people are picking up the phone and calling this gentleman. What's his name again?
His name is Mr. Lee, and it says Mr. Lee, Temple, Texas.
254.
No, I'm going to put my glasses back on again. You know, I'm getting too old to talk.
Write this down, because I'm going to call him later.
254-778-3111. Now, I just got this pen yesterday, so I haven't actually dial the number. It may be disconnected. It may ring you into a Republican, you know, rehab center. I don't know. But according to the pen, this is Mr. Lee's phone number, the way the pen rings. So I just wanted to point that out to you. It's just an amazing find. I think I'm going to try and get Frozy's address and mail it to him so he can take a picture of it and post it on the site. You know, this is...
There you go.
This is something that's really... One day, you know... I was reading something interesting the other day about, you know, German guilt, you know, over Hitler and all that sort of thing. Did you know that Hitler actually only got 40% of the vote, you know, back, and most of it was a huge political takeover, like what I guess most of us know about the political takeover and all, but, you know, they're kind of in the same boat that we were, you know, about an actual, you know, the person who ended up being in charge wasn't really the winner of an election. He wasn't voted for as being the I've lost the word right now, but in any case he was the dictator. He wasn't voted in as dictator. He was voted in as some other office,
and chancellor or something.
He arranged things within just a few months to become the dictator of the country.
I did.
Yeah.
Peter, I've got to hit the news here, my friend.
No problem. I'll be back on in a few minutes. I'll see you guys later.
All right. Thank you, Peter. Listen, okay, yeah, are you going to hang on the line and talk to us later, or are you going to come, or are you just going back to chat?
Oh, I'm going back to chat.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay, see you later.
Thank you, Peter. Have a good afternoon.
Yes, sir. Bye.
Bye now. Our friend Peter in Tallahassee, you are listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network, simulcast on radiopower.org. If you're on the line, hang on, we'll get to you. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program. I will talk to you right after the news.
Quality News Network. In Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, a shooting at a one-room Amish school today killed 3 girls, along with the gunman, a 32-year-old milk truck driver. 7 other girls were also wounded. On Capitol Hill, former Representative Mark Foley, who resigned from Congress on Friday following the revelation of inappropriate emails he allegedly wrote to former House pages, has checked into an alcohol rehabilitation facility. The FBI, Florida law enforcement authorities, and the Justice Department are conducting investigations of the matter. In Baghdad, the state of emergency put in place over the weekend has been renewed today by the parliament. Also, 14 employees were kidnapped from computer stores today. On Sunday, 24 factory workers were captured by gunmen. Dozens of bodies were found in and around the capital. Also in Baghdad, Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki presented his new four-point peace plan to end the sectarian violence in Iraq between the Sunnis and the Shiites. It includes the establishment of local commissions to oversee security forces. In Gaza City, the Hamas-led Palestinian government shut down all ministries today after yesterday's deadly anti-government protests between Hamas and Fatah supporters killed 9 people and injured 90. Today, the Palestinian Prime Minister declared that calm was returning. However, tensions remained high and sporadic gunfights broke out as representatives of both factions met. In southern Lebanon today, the Lebanese army reclaimed the portion of land that was held by Israel since the 34-day war ended. Israeli troops completed their withdrawal from the region yesterday as required by the UN ceasefire. At the White House today, President Bush met with Turkey's prime minister. He endorsed Turkey's bid to join the European Union and praised the country's economic reforms. Also today, President Bush said the United Nations should not wait any longer to send a peacekeeping force to Darfur. So far, the Sudanese government has refused to accept a UN force. However, Bush says the UN should send the force anyway. In Brazil, the country's president will face a runoff election on October 29th because he failed to get a majority of the vote in Sunday's election. He is running for a second term. In Mexico, a spokesperson for President Vicente Fox said the Mexican government strongly opposes the building of a border fence to keep illegal immigrants out of the U.S. Last week, the Senate approved a bill to construct 700 miles of fence along the U.S.-Mexico border. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization...
Right price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
Two Americans have won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for their work in the study of how genes function. It could open the door to new ways of fighting disease such as AIDS and cancer. Swiss-based pharmaceutical company Roche says it will produce more doses of Tamiflu. The company says it wants to ensure governments will be able to stockpile the vaccine for flu outbreaks. The American Journal of Psychiatry finds that men are about as likely as women to go on shopping binges. The study by researchers from Stanford University shows that 5.5% of men are compulsive buyers compared to 6% of women, and that men are more likely than women to become addicted to auctions. Morgan Stanley has obtained an onshore commercial banking license in China with its purchase of Nantong Bank. Financial terms of that deal were not disclosed. In September, the U.S. manufacturing sector grew at its slowest pace in more than a year. A trade group blames weaker U.S. auto sales and a slow housing market. The Commerce Department reports that in August, construction project spending unexpectedly went up to 0.3%. That was the biggest gain in 11 months. Light sweet crude settling at $61.03 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow down 9 points, NASDAQ down 21, S&P 500 down 5. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's time for another hour of conversation radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With
with your host, Bruce Birch.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. You might not get smarter, but you may end up knowing more. About 8 minutes past the hour. We got off on our news break a little bit late, but I wanted to give Peter plenty of time to get his points in. And then very good points he made. Very good points he made. We have seen a plethora of abuses against the populace of this country, not the least of which has been stolen elections, has been usurpation of our constitutionally delineated rights. I mean, we've seen this president and this administration pretty much try to install an autocratic regime. They want to be in charge of us all. They want to be in charge of us all. We're going to go over to some phone calls, but I see that's cleared, so that's fine. We'll just we'll go back into doing some more stuff here that I wanted to talk about this afternoon. You know, one of the things, and let me just get this out before we get off into that other topic. You know, one of the ideas that I also had regarding this Mark Foley situation is that it's a red herring. It's a story that is designed specifically to divert attention from something else. What I think, here's what I'm thinking, you can tell me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure that you will. You know, there, in Bob Woodward's new book, he wrote that George Tenet warned Condoleezza Rice in the months before the attacks on September 11th. Okay, now we're not going to get into whether September 11th was an inside job or not right now. What I'm saying is based into the mainstream news that 2 months before the September 11th tragedy, George Tenet warned Condoleezza Rice of an impending Al-Qaeda attack on the United States, in the United States. Rice is saying that she cannot recall, she says, quote, "What I am quite certain of is that I would remember if I was told, as this account apparently says, that there was about to be an attack in the United States, and the idea that I would somehow have ignored that I find incomprehensible." So, Bob Woodward's book, State of Denial, outlines a July 10th meeting among Rice, Tenet, and the CIA's top counterterror officer. She goes on and says, "I don't know that this meeting took place, but what I really don't know, what I'm quite certain of, is that if it was not a meeting in which I was told there was an impending attack and I refused to respond." She also went on to say, "It kind of doesn't ring true that you have to shock me into something I was very involved in." Okay, well, that right there, folks, that right there is I call BS. And I'll tell you why I call BS. The reason why I call BS on that situation is very simple. This administration was not engaged at all in counterterror efforts prior to September the 11th. George Bush on August the 6th, 2001, he received a memo, a presidential daily brief, PDB they call it. In this presidential daily briefing, the title of which, "Bin Laden Determined to Strike in the U.S., one would think that they at least knew, had an idea of something, right? I mean, it came across the desk. It came across their field of view. But of course, none of them knew anything, right? None of them knew anything. And Bill Clinton didn't have anything to do with it either. He, you know, of course, he didn't have a terror plan laid out as he indicated on the Fox News Sunday or whatever it was that he was interviewed by Chris Wallace. Yes, in fact, he did have a plan, and yes, in fact, it was ignored. So that might be one of the stories that this is a red herring about. And I just wanted to, before we get too far into all of that stuff, I wanted to, let me shift gears for a minute. And I'll probably try to do this again tomorrow afternoon in the second part of the show. But, one of the things that we on the left, and I'd like to, for you to think about this over the break, one of the things that we on the left have found ourselves involved in is reactive politics. A story is tossed our way, such as the Mark Foley incident, and immediately we go on the reactive stance. We take the story salaciously. We eat it up and we say, oh my goodness, we have to, blah, 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 blah. One of the things that has put us in this position, of course, is that the GOP, the greedy oil party, is controlling the agenda. They are controlling the airwaves. In large part, they are controlling the mass media. And so, whatever juicy tidbit drops out of the greedy oil party controlled Congress or executive branch or Supreme Court is what gets focused on in the news of that day. And, of course, because that's the news that's getting focused on, the Democrats have to react to that story. And then we here on the radio end up talking about it because that's the big news for the day. That's what we're being told we have to deal with. That's what we're being told we have to have a good time with. What I'd like to propose to you is that that's not going to win an election for the left. That's not going to win an election for those who are liberals or those who are progressives. What that does, in essence, is allow the GOP to continue to control the message. Back in 1994, I believe it was, let's see. Yes. There was an election. Or is it 92? Maybe it was 92. Anyway, in 92 there was an election wherein the people voted in a president that spoke of hope. And when they voted him in, they wanted hope. They were tired of living this life of being scared to death because of the Russian nuclear bombs that were going to fall or whatever it was. They were tired of being force-fed militarism. This guy from Arkansas came up and he had hope. What is it that the Democratic Party can do today to ensure not only a majority Democratic Congress, but a majority Democratic, a majority Democratic presidency, a Democratic presidency? I, for one, think that the American people are getting very weary of living through these times of terror and fear and being scared. And I think that people are striving now. They want hope. They want hope. Are you hearing that in the Democratic Party message? I'm not hearing it. But I'd like to get your thoughts on that. If you called earlier in the show, you can call back. It's a different topic. It just seems to me like good, honest, hardworking Americans want a good, honest, hardworking message. And they want a good, honest, hardworking bunch of politicians. They're not getting it right now in the GOP-controlled Congress. What they're getting is, what they're getting. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll discuss this a little bit further. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network, simulcast by RadioPower.org. We'll be right back.
Gone International with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We getting wild. The whole reason why you're telling us all that we need to unify, rally round the flag and be
before. Sing the same old songs. We heard them all before. You're telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it's idiotic. The tears of one mother are the same as any other. Drop food on your kids while you're murdering the fathers. But don't bother to show it on CNN. Brothers and sisters, don't believe them that it's war against evil. It's really just revenge. Engaged on the poorest by the same rich men.
Great universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
Back to the show. It's 21 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Birch Radio program. I started off on that topic, and maybe I started off a little wrong. And maybe I'll just do that as a different topic at some other point. Because I'm not as well prepared for it as I thought I would be, being as I was. A lot of things happened today that did not allow me to get into that. I really feel like that the current Democratic Party is not being as clarified with their message as they could be.
it's not enough to say we don't stand for what they stand for, in my view. And while that may guarantee us a majority House of Representatives and a majority Senate, that's not where you're going to build lasting momentum from. You know? So I certainly hope that, you know, maybe someone can call me up and can correct me here. But, you know, based on everything that I'm seeing, I'm not seeing a very clear message from the Democratic Party. Definitely did want to bring this to your attention, though. Apparently, well, listen, let me go back. We have, you know, I was talking about Rice and Tenet and all that stuff. Also today, for those of you who are into the immigration story, Mexico President Vicente Fox has come out and said the Mexican government strongly opposes the building of walls in the border area between Mexico and the United States. This decision hurts bilateral relations, goes against the spirit of cooperation needed to guarantee security on the common, creates a climate of tension in border communities. President Vicente Fox's spokesman Ruben Aguilar said it would send a diplomatic note to Washington later today, actually, urging Bush to veto the bill, which requires the president's signature to become law. It'll be interesting to see what the president does with this, because he is a big fan of letting the border run wide open. Also, according to a story, the news this afternoon, there's already they've already picked a replacement for Mark Foley. His name is State Representative Joe Negron, and he has 4 weeks to try to win an election. Foley's name actually will remain on the ballot, even though he resigned. But any votes he receives will count for Negron. Foley, a congressman for 12 years, obviously abruptly resigned Friday. This district that he was from includes parts of Palm Beach, Martin, St. Lucie, and Okeechobee counties, mid-Florida. Going back south of the border. Apparently, apparently in Brazil, the Brazilian president Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva did not achieve re-election yesterday in the first round of voting. The leftist incumbent will have to go to a runoff on October 29th against Social Democrat Geraldo Alckmin. With over 98% of the votes counted, Lula had 48.79% of the valid vote, while Alckmin had 41.43%, which, of course, is, I guess, obviously will toss them into a runoff. These elections, it's getting tighter and tighter all around the world. I wonder if they're all using the same machines. It seems like they might be. Now, coming back up here to this side of the southern border, great story, fantastic story, amazing story from Walmart. Walmart is pushing to create a cheaper, as if it could, a cheaper, more flexible workforce by capping wages, using more part-time workers, and scheduling more staff on nights and weekends. Walmart executives, of course, say they embrace the new policies for a large number of their 1.3 million workers who better serve customers. It has nothing to making money. But some Walmart workers say the changes are further reducing their modest incomes and putting a strain on personal lives. worker bees. Don't you understand? You have no personal life. You belong to the machine. Investment analysts and store managers say Walmart executives have told them the company wants to transform its workforce to 40% part-time from 20%. Walmart denies it has a goal of 40% part-time workers, although company officials said part-timers now comprise 25 to 30% of the workers, up from 20% last October. Walmart spokesman Sarah Clark said the company had no specific target for part-timers as a percentage of its workforce. Just more. Clark added that it is important that Walmart staff are working at times when customers want to shop. I guess that would mean 3 in the morning. I don't know. Let's take a break. Are you depressed yet? This is the Bruce Burch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show today, you can dial 1-877-443-2366 or email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. The Bob Woodward book confirms the worst about the lazy and arrogant president we've got there in the White House. He won't listen to anyone who delivers bad news. He refuses to grapple with facts on the ground that undercut his position, and he insists on saying in public that things are rosy in Iraq when the reports he's getting show just the opposite. His stubbornness would offend a mule. When Bush said, according to Woodward, that he wasn't going to leave Iraq, even if the only ones who agree with him are Laura and their dog Bernie, he actually misspoke, because Laura's view doesn't seem to matter either. Woodward says Laura, along with then-Chief of Staff Andy Card, wanted to get rid of Rumsfeld, but Bush said no, listening instead, I guess, to Bernie and to that other White House canine, Dick Cheney, longtime Rumsfeld protector. Seems the vice president has another old dog that he plays with regularly, and this one is named Henry Kissinger. Cheney told Woodward that Kissinger is the person he consults with most on the job, and that Bush values Kissinger's advice a great deal, too. So Bush needs to revise his manifesto of stubbornness. He won't leave Iraq, even if the only ones who agree with him are Bernie, Cheney, and Henry the K. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty, and you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Burch Radio Program. It's 32 minutes past the hour. If you would like to get on the show today, please do give us a call, 1-877-443-2366. Now, I'm going back. I'm going to go back because I'm seeing a headline that might, there's nothing breaking news about this, but apparently there are a number of conservatives who are seeking Denny Hastert's resignation over this entire situation. And one of the top stories there off of CNN right now says that apparently Foley did try to meet with the young man. It'll be interesting to see how this shakes out. Yes. It could be a distracting story, but it is heinous either way, in my view. Another story, very tragic story, this afternoon out of Pennsylvania. A 32-year-old truck driver walked into a one-room Amish schoolhouse this afternoon, binding and shooting three girls execution style before killing himself. Eight other girls were wounded in the attack, which police said appeared to be a revenge killing for an incident that occurred two decades ago. Commissioner Jeffrey Miller of the Pennsylvania State Police said it would take a miracle for us not to lose more lives today, adding that the wounded were in critical condition, two of them very dire. The gunman, his name was Charles Carl Roberts, the fourth. He was armed with three guns, a stun gun, two knives, and a bag holding 600 rounds of ammunition. He was apparently also carrying an assortment of tools and other items, including toilet paper. And that apparently led police to believe he was prepared for an extended siege. Miller, the commissioner there, said, again, it seems as though he wanted to attack young female victims, and this is close to his residence. That's the only reason we can figure that he went to the school. Robert's wife tried to call him when she found some notes. The Bart, Pennsylvania resident had three children. He left several notes for his family along the lines of suicide notes. Apparently, the notes were rambling and didn't make much sense. Robert's wife tried to call him when she found the notes. He returned the call on his cell phone, told her he wouldn't be coming home and that he was acting out to achieve revenge for something that happened 20 years ago. Police said he barricaded himself inside the schoolhouse with a 2x4 and 2x6 pieces of lumber, which he had brought to the scene in a borrowed pickup truck. He did not respond to efforts by police to make contact with him. Miller said that during the attack, Roberts apparently told students to line up in front of the blackboard. He began to tie his female captive's feet together. He let the 15 boys in the classroom leave. Miller said Roberts also allowed an adult female who was pregnant to leave with the three other adult females who had infant children with them. Incredibly tragic. The school was an Amish school, apparently. Incredibly tragic story. This apparently is the third school shooting in a week, based on what I've found and what I've been able to dig up this afternoon. Begs the idea, how much violence do we need to have? It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. Let's go over to the phone lines. Our good friend Phil from Daytona Beach, Florida, is on line one. Phil, how are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, good, thanks, Bruce. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Great. Hey, I couldn't agree with you more that this whole thing's a red herring, whether the release of the story about the congressman was deliberately timed or not is irrelevant. Last night on 60 Minutes, national TV, Bob Woodward revealed to the country that Bush would not bring the troops home out of Iraq, even if the only one who told him, who stood by him, was his dog and his wife. Pretty much, that's what he said, right?
Yep.
And I would think the appropriate response from 300 million people in this country would be a collective, say what? Don't you think that's the appropriate response?
You would think so.
And we're falling for it again. And I think what you've been mentioning, along with other hosts, you know, what can we do about this? And we've got to change our act, man. I think let's start with us. Let's get back to this this thing and beat it just like the Republicans do. They have one talking point and they beat the hell out of it, you know.
They certainly do.
And here's a gem for us. Bush said he wouldn't withdraw from Iraq, even if the only one who agreed with him was his dog. You know, I mean, that means he wouldn't take the general's advice or the other helper, you know, his other staff people. This should be, we should be beating the hell out of this, you know, when we're in the grocery store in line. Did you hear what Bush said last night on 60 Minutes? You know, the Republicans beat the hell out of whatever they got, and the Democrats in Congress, to me, they're worthless. They should be jumping all over this, and they're not, just like they've failed us for 6 years now. But I really think it's we have to change. We could even change right now on the it's your radio show, but I'll offer the suggestion.
Sure.
You know, what can we do with this same old situation? We got Bush on something, and the news feeds us something else, and what do? We fall for it again. What can we do different this time? And I have like three different impeach Bush Cheney shirts. Mm-hmm. I have my Veterans for Peace shirts. You know, I have other impeach Bush, and I wear these shirts. I go out in public, and it generates conversation. And then I say, yeah, you know why I think he should be impeached? Did you hear about the Downing Street memo? No. Oh, yeah. It's been revealed that Bush and Blair knew there were no weapons of mass destruction. They actually lied to start the war. It came out. It's been revealed. You didn't know about that? You know, and that's how we inform our fellows. We got to be the news.
Well, and that you're exactly right. We need to be the media. Each one of us needs to be the media. And what has happened is, you know, with the here's what I think anyway, Phil, is that with the advent of the 24-hour news, you know, cycle going on, they're like vultures out there. They're waiting for any juicy tidbit to drop, and that has made them so easy to manipulate.
Yes, You understand, but people out there, if you haven't figured it out now, the TV is it's part of this one-party state. It's a tool for them. You know, turn off your damn TV sets. You know, and you know, and turn off the TV set. Take a walk down the street. Bump into somebody. Wear an impeached shirt or some kind of shirt or button that'll generate conversation. And instead of watching this bull crap news, let's go out and be the news ourselves. And we can do that. We can actually turn off the TV set and you know, and stop saying, sitting on the couch and saying, listen to this bull crap, I can't believe it, you know, and then watch a rerun of Green Acres or something instead. We can actually change our behavior, and we could actually turn that damn set off, go out for a, you know, a loaf of bread or, you know, some milk, and you know, instead of take the car, walk there, bump into somebody, you know, you can get these impeach Bush Cheney shirts on the afterdowningstreet.org website.
Yep.
And I don't know how many conversations I've generated. You know, at first it's scary, especially down here in the South with the, you know, flag-waving Republicans. But hey, man, our country's under. We might. This stuff's real, man. We.
It's under attack.
These are things we could actually do, man. Instead of just saying, "What can we do?" We can actually. I carry a memo pad with me in my pocket, and I used to just give my number out in my email, you know, and never hear from people. What I do is I don't let them leave until I have their phone number, you know, because email, you can't count on it, you know. It's too easy
right.
to delete. And, you know, carry a memo pad, you know, and I got my impeach shirt or Veterans for Peace shirt or Code Pink, whatever the hell, you know, Bush lied shirt. And it generate a just bump into somebody, even if they don't even say anything. If they you see them looking and smile, and then you say, "Hey, what's up? Like my shirt? Yeah, you know, well, yeah." And then just get it going, get a number, and that's one more.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you, Phil. I think not only that, but I think that instead of sitting around watching the moronic television, that people actually go out and engage themselves in political meetings. I mean, and if there aren't any in your hometown, start one.
You got it. And there are. They're out. Yeah, you're right. If they're out there, we just gotta just get out of the turn that damn box off. And
it's a drug, Phil.
It works.
It breeds apathy.
Okay, well, boy, I've been once again talking your ear off.
You're good, but I do, you know, absolutely, Phil. I really appreciate your calls because, you know, you always offer constructive ideas of different things we can do. And you know, the other one about the DVD thing, we still need to get together on that.
Oh yes, yes. Oh, speaking of which, my girlfriend, and who's a Code Pinker, by the way, ladies out there. We watched V for Vendetta this weekend, and it's kind of like a Big Brother thing. It was put out this year, and it's made by the
great movie.
Fantastic. I highly recommend it, and it has to do with you know, a one party state being taken over, like we're being taken over, and you know, and eventually the
all
people
in the name
revolt
of safety.
And, dynamite film.
Fantastic.
And
that's
we got to do
movie
more
too, you know. Make you know, of course, you know, it'd be kind of difficult to buy copies and give them out to people, but you know, I absolutely think that it's we have to, you know, more people need to read and more people need to watch these movies and make, and then have, you know, if you watch the movie, then, you know, have a political discussion afterwards. What, you know, how does this movie, for instance, V for Vendetta, how close is that aligned with our present government? You know, what about this movie was similar to you, and what about the movie scared you? And you know, you'd be surprised at what people say.
Well, here's something we're doing in Daytona Beach. I'm a member of the Florida chapter of Military Families Speak Out as well, and we're hosting a showing of The Ground Truth, you know, which next week is being shown by a lot of groups like veterans groups and Code Pink and Military Families Speak Out. And I reserved a room in the library, and they didn't have evening hours, but I asked them. I said, you know, is it possible to show a film after hours? So people who work during the day can get, you know, you'd be surprised what can happen if you ask. And the woman, the librarian, said, sure. So Tuesday night, we're showing the Ground Truth. It's www.thegroundtruth.net. And we're showing it at our public library, and I just made up flyers, and I just typed letters to the 5 high schools in my area, sending them to the guidance department with a cover letter. And even if they don't come, I may have initiated a relationship with these high schools where we can maybe bring films to the high school. See? And anyone,
wonderful.
If I can do this, anyone can do it.
Absolutely.
But
Phil,
public,
you are an activist extraordinaire, my friend.
No, I'm not. I'm just somebody who turned off the TV set and is trying something different. That's my point, Bruce. I'm not. Oh. It took a phone call to the library. It took going to the website for that movie. And it took, an hour or so on my computer to make the flyers and type the letters. That's what it took. And anyone can do that. And you don't have to be a veteran or a military family member. You can just be a concerned person like your listeners. And if I can do it, anyone can do that. And that's all that was involved in doing this. So I encourage folks. There's a movie out there, Iraq for Sale. And I think if you go to the website for that, it's the same kind of thing. They have you sign up to host the film. They send you the DVD, show it at your local library. And if they don't have evening hours, ask them if they'll let you show it one night a week, after hours. And you might be surprised. They might say yes, like our librarian did.
Right on.
Anyone can do that.
Iraq for Sale.
Yes, it's the latest movie. It's Robert Greenwald who made the film The Walmart, The High Cost, the High Price, The Low Cost, or High Cost.
Right.
You know what I mean. And
right.
He's done these other documentaries that were released strictly as DVDs because the movie theaters wouldn't, they're going house parties, public, private showings, that kind of thing. Church groups show them. That's where I first saw it, the Walmart one. So Iraq for Sale, if you just, I think that's the website, maybe Jake, Josh, the guy that's working with you can look it up.
Yeah.
And then you go to the website,
mm-hmm.
and, they'll say host a screening. And this Thursday I'm going to one of the women in our Code Pink group is going to do the Ground Truth at her house party. And what we're going to do is we're going to, every week that we demonstrate, we have flyers, which I print out. And we're going to fold them because I fold them, and I hand them out with the DVDs every Thursday night at when the light is red and the cars are stopped. We hand out these flyers, one's about 9/11 truth, another's about the Downing Street minutes, informing the public. And then we give them a copy of Loose Change. And now there's a new one out, Terror Storm, that you can get at Infowars.com, which is even more better than Loose Change. And they're
That's
legal
fantastic.
To burn.
You guys are doing some good work down there, man.
Yes, thank you. But my point is, any of us can do it. Turn the TV off, and you'd be amazed how much time is there.
Watch your life get full. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and someone else's. This last Thursday, I went to
Except
hand
if you're watching the DVD, right?
Huh?
Except, I was trying to make it funny. Except if you're watching the DVD, then you have to turn the TV
on.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, right. I got you, man. Well, I'm talking your ear off, but hey, folks out there, there's too much at stake, and time is short. Turn the TV off and try some of these things. I didn't create them, just people suggested it to me, and I tried it, and you can too. I hope you do. Iraq for Sale.
Iraq for Sale.
Yeah, you'll get the website. I should let you get other calls.
Yeah, I've got to take a quick break here,
Sorry,
but
Bruce.
I do appreciate it, Phil. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you, Bruce, and the horn is great. Man, it's the greatest. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. That's a high compliment. Thanks a lot. Have a wonderful afternoon. That was
you too, Bruce.
Phil
Bye-bye.
From Daytona Beach, Florida, calling in, talking about his personal activism, and you know what? He's doing some good stuff. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network, simulcast on radiopower.org. I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back.
of democracy and pinned up against the coast. Our house of bureaucracy surrounded by a moat. Citizens of poverty are barely out of sight. The overlords escape near evening, the people on the night.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Back on the Bruce Burrs radio program, it's about 56 minutes past the hour, and we ran over our break, but I decided I wanted to take it anyway. Now, I just, you know, very quickly, before we get out of here, please go to worldcantwait.org, and, you know, there are over, when we were on the air last week with Sansara Taylor, who is one of the folks, one of the originators of World Can't Wait. She said to me there were 115 events. That's now 150. 150 events nationwide. You can go to www.worldcantwait.org and click on the big banner there. It says, no works, no school, protest in the streets, October 5th. Click here for protest locations. And you will find out, I'm sorry, number of protests are up to 152. Here in North Carolina, there are 11 different events scheduled across the state. People are latching onto this, and they're wanting to express their angst through this method. And I am absolutely, I think that's fantastic. WorldCan'tWait.org, please go check it out. Also, check us out too. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. You can get all of our show posts and everything there, and various interviews available for download. Let's see. cascading down into the bottom of the show. Glad to have you aboard today. I just, you know, this whole thing with Mark Foley was just really, ugh, sick. It brings me down. We'll talk about something else tomorrow. The show today was produced by Zach Rebich. Thank you, Zach, for everything that you do. The show was announced by John Fox. He's also the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Thank you, John. I hear he's moving, packing. Good deal. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services, Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Thank you, Peter. Gene is our Head On Headlines News Ninja. Hi-ya! Thank you, Gene. Also want to thank Ben Burch of the White Rose Society for managing the archives and stream of this radio program. If you want to find them, go to whiterosesociety.org and drop Ben a donation. He could use it. The show is also simulcast by Shelby LaPrey at radiopower.org. She could also use a donation, so please go help her out as well. Last but not least, the show and all the shows on Head On Radio Network are brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. They're fantastic. And thank you, listeners, for joining me today for another little trip down the progressive path on the Bruce Birch radio program. And remember, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. Get involved. Turn off the TV and go hit the streets. I'll see you tomorrow.
Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried.
This is the Quality News Network. At least four people were killed today in a shooting at a one-room Amish school in Pennsylvania. Authorities say the gunman, a 32-year-old milk truck driver, is among the dead. He took about a dozen girls hostage, then shot at least three of them execution style before killing himself. It was the third deadly school shooting in the U.S. in less than a week. On Capitol Hill, former Representative Mark Foley, who resigned from Congress on Friday, has checked into a facility for treatment of alcohol abuse and emotional problems. That follows the revelation that he exchanged sexually inappropriate instant messages with at least one male page. In Washington, the White House is still refuting many of the allegations made in Bob Woodward's new book, State of Denial. Top officials defended the Bush administration and say they disagree with the book's premise that Mr. Bush